My name is Michelle O'Roon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 29th of September 2009 and the time is now 10:19 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is Dave Whitby. I'm 28 and I'm from Manchester, England.
How are you feeling?
Okay. Getting a little bit more nervous now, despite the calm facade.
Is there anything in particular that you're concerned about?
No, not at all really. It's what I'm doing isn't very involving for the crowd, so it's how they respond to watching me do essentially nothing for an hour. But we'll see how that goes. It depends on what people feel about the sign and the bits and pieces that I brought with me.
Whereabouts? Do you live in Manchester itself?
Yeah, we live in the city centre.
How long have you been there?
I've lived in the city centre for maybe 4 or 5 years now, on and off. Where I am now, I've been there for 18 months or so.
Where were you before then?
In between staying in the centre of Manchester, I've done a lot of travelling in between. And before moving to Manchester, I lived in a very small place called Frodsham. It's actually technically in Cheshire. It's about 40 minutes away from Manchester. It's a very small little town.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
I think it was a web link I'd stumbled across over somewhere, an article about it, saw the link, clicked on the link, initially applied and essentially forgot everything about it until the confirmation email came through in the end of July whilst I was away on holiday. So that came as a big surprise and filled my online profile out and took it from there.
Where were you on holiday?
We were in Croatia. Yeah, catching a bit of sun, getting away from Manchester for a while.
Was it the first time you've been there?
Yeah, it's the first time I've been to Croatia, yeah.
What was that like?
It was beautiful, to say the least. Yeah, it was all nice coastal villages and clear blue sea and blue skies. And we were only there for 2 weeks, which was nowhere near long enough. So.
Was there any particular reason that made you want to take part in this project?
It was just an opportunity to get involved with, essentially get involved with Anthony Gormley's work, because he's quite obviously a high profile British artist and I'm familiar with his work, I've seen a lot of his work, and just, like I say, an opportunity to be involved with anything linked to him is quite clearly something you can't really miss.
What is it that you like about his work, do you think?
A lot of it's to do with like the scale of the work, like obviously with things like the Angel of the North and just the repetition of figures, and I don't know, it's all quite bold and stark work. There's nothing, I don't know, it's not pretentious at all. It's quite hard to explain really. Quite a lot of it is to do with the actual manufacturing of his work as well. It's all quite constructed. There's a lot of work goes into the actual physically manufacture of the pieces, which I appreciate quite a lot.
How does that compare to this project, do you think?
Well, it's completely the opposite, really, isn't it? Yeah, there's no construction at all, but it's more opening it up. Again, there's still the link to the figures and the human form. But a lot of it's more down to opening the floor to the public more than anything.
Is that something that appeals to you?
Yeah, it does. It gives everybody an opportunity to do their bit, so to speak, with varying degrees of success, I should imagine.
Have you decided how you're going to spend your time up there?
I have, after quite a lot of deliberation, because I've had so long to think about it, because I got my email back at the end of July, and I've had numerous ideas that have come and gone, and I've been putting it off for a while and procrastinating about it, and then eventually came to the conclusion that it would appear I have no real discerning talent whatsoever, so I can't really get up there and sing or say poetry or dance or anything like that. So I decided just to rely on something that's purely visual, and I don't want to get too preachy about anything, and I don't really follow any causes too strongly or anything. I don't really like the idea of imposing my ideas on other people, so I pretty much just went for something that was a bit of a silly visual gag. I like a lot of the Monty Python, the Goon Show kind of just stupid stuff, so I just went for something a bit daft.
Do you Can you tell me what you brought along with you?
I've brought along with me a large sign, a large wooden sign, just with the words "Don't worry, everything is fine" stenciled onto it. And to go with the sign, I've got a large Grim Reaper's costume with a mask and obviously the hood and all those pieces. And essentially, I'm just going to stand up there for an hour and hold my sign and see how it goes. So yeah, that's it really.
Are you a pessimist or an optimist?
An unhealthy balance of both, I think, depending on the situation. I like to remain optimistic about things, but then deep down inside, everyone's a little bit pessimistic. So sometimes that creeps to the surface.
When did you get the idea?
I don't know. It just kind of came about. I always wanted to try and produce a positive message. Again, that's optimism, but then there's always a little bit of pessimism in there as well, and I just thought it'd be a bit silly to have the Grim Reaper expressing a positive message. So that was pretty much the idea in a nutshell.
How long have you been into Monty Python?
A long time, to be honest. I've grown up with it, really. My parents were into it, so there was always the videos were on and catching it when it's on TV. Even when you're a kid and you don't really understand half of it, it's just literally just that stupidness that attracts you to it. And it's all very visual and silly, which everyone likes. And quintessentially British, if nothing else, which again is something I think a lot of this has got to do with, because it's the great British public. And
can you expand on that? What is it that you think is quite quintessentially British about Monty Python, for example?
A lot of it's to do with putting ourselves down, I think. There's a lot of like highlighting elements of where our society is wrong, but then just making fun of it, because that's what we kind of do, really. We know we're doing it wrong, but then just pull a prank about it, so to speak. And a lot of it is that the only people that ever get it are British people. So that sums it up there, really.
What would you be doing if you weren't here tonight?
If I wasn't here tonight, I don't really know. I would probably be at home, to be honest. Don't know. Not sure about that one. Probably sat at home or possibly out and about doing other bits and pieces.
Are you working or studying?
I am working. I've been working for a long time. I was should we say, removed from the education system at quite a young age for being, I don't know how to phrase that wisely, to be honest. It was decided it was in my best interest if I left school. So I left school at 16 and then started working, and I've been working ever since.
Tell me a bit more about what you do.
What I do at the moment, I'm in IT at the moment. I do computer support for the company that produces all A-level and GCSEs and does all the marking for them. It's okay, it's not a bad job, it's what I'm in, it's my line of work, it's what I've been doing for 10 years now. So
did you want to get out of school?
I did, yeah, it just didn't really work for me, so to speak. I don't know, I just didn't really get on with the teachers and didn't really like the I found it hard to focus on study, shall we say.
What kind of school was that?
Just a normal comprehensive school. Yeah, just high school. I left 3 months into my first year of sixth form and A-levels. So I passed, I got all my GCSEs, obviously. I got A's in, 10 A's or something stupid. Embarked on the A-levels, realised that I just didn't want to do it, I didn't have the focus for it. Thought at the time it'd be a lot better to go and get a job and try and earn some money. Realised that you couldn't really earn much money at that age, and I just had to stick with it ever since.
Think you'll ever go back to study?
I don't know, I've always thought about it. I think one of the reasons why I didn't enjoy school was because they were making me study things I didn't really want to study at the time, so it really didn't get my attention for that much. And then every now and then I have a little brainwave and I'm like, I should go and study that, I'm interested in that, and then 3 weeks down the line I'm not so interested in it anymore.
Oh,
so
it's
just
fake.
A lot of things, to be honest. I'm interested in science, a lot of science, a lot of physics and astronomy and things like that. But my problem is I touch on subjects I don't get too involved in them, so I get a bit of an overview. I quite like that, and then move on. I've never really focused on one thing. There you go.
Did you choose three words to describe yourself on your profile?
I did. They were very poor, and I chose them on holiday, and it was literally minutes before my submission had to be in. And my three words were, "I'm so Dave." Because Dave's a very British thing. Everyone's got a mate called Dave. So I thought I would try and sum it up.
Is your name not James?
I use my middle name. Because Dave's much nicer. It's a family thing. My dad was called James, and his dad was called James, and his dad was called James. So to prevent immense confusion at family functions, we all use our middle names. Which is a bit silly, but I know we should all just have the proper name, but that's just the way it is.
How far does the naming of
I've no idea, to be honest. I know it goes back at least four generations. Past then, I don't really know. My granddad did actually use James as his name, but insisted on Jim.
What do you do when you're not working? Do you like to spend your time?
How do I like to spend my time? I've got a keen interest in music, so we tend to go to a lot of gigs. Living in the city centre of Manchester, everything is pretty much on the doorstep, so I know a few people in bands as well, so we tend to get in cheap, which is always good. It's definitely an encouragement to get out, and you can get in for free.
Have you ever played in a band?
I did, a long time ago. I was in a very poor mid-90s Oasis style band that I think everybody in Manchester has been in at some point or another. With no success, but we had a laugh and it was quite good fun. I think it helps you to do things like this when you stood on top of a stage of people shouting and booing at you.
Are you planning on talking to people at all? Are you up there?
I'm not. I'm going to be completely silent, I think. I think
Any
I'm going to sleep.
Particular reason for that?
I think it adds impact to the visual spectacle, shall we say, of the costume and the sign together. And I just really don't know what to say a lot of the time. If people start shouting at me, then so be it. Hopefully, as it stands as itself, it's more statuesque, really. I thought I'd go for that kind of thing.
Quite anonymous.
Yeah, there's a mask and there's a hood, and so they're not going to know who it is at all, really. Except for everybody who I've told who's going to tune in, then they'll know it's me, but I don't care about them.
If you hadn't done that, would it worry you to be easily recognisable?
No, not at all. I wouldn't have minded at all, really. No, that would have been fine, yeah. But like I say, if I'd had something to say, or if I thought of a cause, or there was something that was really passionate about, then maybe I would have got up there and done a song and dance, or whatever would have taken my fancy. But I think I've taken the silent option.
What did your mates say when you told them you were going to do this?
A lot of people, not really, I don't think. A lot of people weren't aware of the project to start with. So once you've explained it to them, they're all a bit confused and taken aback. But everyone's been very enthusiastic about it. There's a lot of people in Manchester tuning in to watch. Or they say they're going to tune in to watch. We'll see how that goes. Everyone's quite keen. Because a lot of my friends, like I say, are in music and art. So they're all quite open-minded about these things. A lot of my older friends or the people I work with are all a bit confused about it. They think it's all a bit arty and they don't really understand. But once you sit them down and once they've actually seen it online as well, a lot of people are kind of like, all right, it's just another public platform, really.
Do you find it quite easy to explain it to people?
It's a lot easier when you've got the website to do the explaining for you. Because I've been aware of the fourth plinth situation, shall we say, before this, but a lot of people aren't aware of it. So when, especially people from up north, not London-based people, so when you explain that to them, then it just goes on from there, and they get it in the end.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am looking forward to it. Yeah. I was a little bit nervous before, but I don't really know why I was nervous, so I'm not anymore. So I'll just go and get it done.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I think I'd just like to thank everybody for letting me have the opportunity to do it, really. And Anthony for having the idea in the first place.
Thank you very much indeed.